I had one case, I think, in Taney County about 10 or 12 years ago, and I think it was Judge Eifert.
Yes, Eifert.
Eifert, yeah. Is he still on the bench?
No.
I didn't think he would be.
No.
Yeah.
He was the circuit judge. He was out of Christian County, and he's no longer on the bench. I don't even know who their circuit judge is anymore.
I don't either. Yeah, because that's that circuit. I guess it's Taney and Christian.
Taney and Christian, and it was Ozark. I don't know if they're still in or not.
Yeah, I don't know if it is anymore either.
Yeah. And my dad's an associate circuit, so he has just Taney County.
Taney, yeah.
Yeah. And that was after he was elected prosecutor in 76 and was the elected prosecutor until 90 and then was special prosecutor for several years and then assistant prosecutor and then he went back into
special prosecutor. Is that like a gold star? You get,
you know, I think what it was is the guy that beat him in 1990 had never been a prosecutor before and had no earthly clue what he was doing, didn't know what a preliminary hearing was, had never tried a case before.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to end up coming back and hiring my dad to actually handle the cases.
That happens, though. That's more frequent than you think.
Yeah.
The thing I like, because I had a case in Saline County one time, and at the time, there were two people in the prosecutor's office. One of them who, what was his name? Hugh Harvey, I think his name was. He's now a judge, but he was the prosecutor, and the assistant prosecutor was the brother of Senator Stoffer. And
that's right.
He was the assistant prosecutor, but what they did is kind of every cycle or two, they would just switch.
No
and,
joke.
Yeah, one would be the prosecutor, one would be the assistant, and then the other one would be the prosecutor for a while, and the other one would be the assistant.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this guy, it was a big anti-incumbent year, 1990. They were like, sweep all the bums out sort of thing. I don't know if you remember. This was about the time of, you know, term limits and all this
stuff.
Right
after that were term limits, correct.
Right. And, you know, an interesting thing that, well, you can determine whether it's interesting. I was a journalism major in undergrad.
And, really? Did you go to Mizzou?
For 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I graduated from SMS because I already had my job lined up at a radio station in Branson. And so it was 1990, and
you
I had
You did a radio station in Branson?
I did. I did for 7 years.
What was the format?
Well, we started out as an... well, there were two stations. It was KRZK and KOMC. KRZK was FM, 106.3 FM. And KOMC was 1220 AM. And 1220 was sort of... classic, you know, big band, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, lots of talk, just local AM.
So it was not a country station.
Well, it wasn't to begin with. KRZK was an oldies station when I first started.
Mm.
And then I went away to college, and while I was in college, the Branson boom happened. Like the whole Roy Clark moved
in. That did seem to happen pretty quickly.
It did. And while I was gone, the Branson boom happened, and then right after I got back, the station switched from oldies, just straight up 60s and 70s, to country.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting because they just went to a commercial break at like 7 a.m. on a Monday morning. And when they came back, the morning DJ was Jessica James.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? Jessica James.
Like Jessica James.
Yeah.
I get it. Yep.
And the first song they played was Alan Jackson, Don't Rock the Jukebox. I don't know if you remember that song.
And a lot of people who were in their cars listening to the radio got very confused and thought something had happened.
We went from oldies to country at 7 a.m., and my parents were furious because my parents were big oldies fans, and they were not country music fans. And they were so sad because the only station in Branson switched from oldies to country. And it's still country at this time. But, yeah, so I was the newscaster, and it was really interesting. I started when I was 17, and then I went away to college, and they let me come back every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then my third year of college, they just said, come on back. So I came on back. I was the afternoon newscaster. I was responsible for 27 newscasts a day between the two stations. 27 newscasts. I spent a significant amount of time actually, you know, reporting the news, writing the news, you know, delivering the news. And then one of the things that I had to do that was kind of interesting, and this is kind of the weird thing, is I would... have to, some of my stories were so interesting, like when Conway Twitty nearly died and that sort of thing, or
mm-hmm.
whatever happened. I would have to...
Probably you had a lot of star...
Yeah,
news.
And some of these stories were of statewide interest, and so I would... And we were a member of the Missouri Net. Are you familiar with the Missouri Net?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we got Bob Pretty, And at the time, we had Daryl Dewey. I don't know if you remember that name. He's a lobbyist now, but
yeah,
he
was on the Missouri Net.
Yeah, he was with the Missouri Net.
I actually didn't know that.
So my job was, in addition to reporting the news, I would actually have to call the Missouri Net and report these news stories. And it was so embarrassing because some of them were, I'm 17, and I'm talking about, strippers that are coming into Branson and all this kind of stuff. And so I have some audio tapes of my early years in radio of when I actually was, my stories were actually reported over the Missouri Net. And they, I think went statewide for anyone who was willing to pick those up. It was pretty fascinating stuff. So, anyway, it was a fascinating thing. So, so I go to work at the radio station. I'm there for 7 years. And then my, I had planned to stay in radio. I mean, it was my first love. I actually, if anyone's hiring, I'm interested in going back. If anyone's out there.
The radio?
Yeah. You know who I've got in my sights right now? Have you ever heard of Nina Totenberg?
Yeah, sure, of course.
So she's the Supreme Court reporter for National Radio,
yes.
National Public Radio. I just can't think she's going to hold out much longer. And I am, I'm a lawyer.
Think that's a good gig for you?
Yeah.
You
know?
Well, you are a lawyer, and it would certainly help to have a lawyer in that position.
Yeah, and so I'm just saying, all as far as I can tell, what they do is they just kind of report what the Supreme Court justices said that day and, give their analysis. I'm more than willing to do that. I'm happy to do that. The senator from Johnson thinks I have a face for radio. He is now number 10 on my list. I don't know how you just dropped that low, but yeah. Straight up, you're gone, you're done, you're over.
Well, when you were in Branson, did you ever actually encounter any stars? Did you see Conway Twitty like at 7-Eleven or anything like that?
Okay, first of all, Yakov Smirnoff on the front porch of Walmart.
Uh-huh.
He had a Jaguar car. And the license plate was a Missouri plate that said Comrade. So his wife was this huge Walmart shopper, and she'd go in and she'd just buy carts of junk, just junk. And he was so furious at how long she would take. And so he refused to park in the main part of the parking lot. And so even though there were like these concrete pillars to keep people from doing this, he would drive his Jaguar up onto the parking, onto the sidewalk at the Walmart in Branson, and he would park on like the front porch of the Walmart in Branson with his Jaguar that says Comrade, and he would just stand there like mad that his wife was taking so long.
Does he still have a theater down there?
He just left.
He just left?
Just left.
Really?
So she'd come out, she'd be pushing her cart, and it'd be overflowing with like, bedazzlers and all this crazy stuff, And he'd just be so mad as he's putting like 37 of those blue plastic bags in the trunk of his Jaguar. And I'd be walking by and I'd look at him and I'd be like, what a country, right?
Well,
Nothing? Really? What? Come on. I wouldn't have done this if you hadn't voted no.
At the end of the Cold War, that must have really been harmful to his act.
Seriously.
Because
that's what the whole thing was based on.
Right. And then now Russia has more billionaires, new billionaires, I think, than any other country.
Right. Absolutely.
And so the whole shtick about, being so poor in Russia that you, can't go get a blue bag at Walmart,
right.
It just doesn't exist anymore because they're creating more billionaires than anybody else.
Right. But you know what really was one of my greatest moments was Loretta Lynn.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big country fan. So you did sell.
Yeah, so you know how when a country music star comes into a town to do a concert or do whatever, the local radio station always has them come in to do these one-liners? You're listening to Branson's hometown country station, KRZK, 106.3 FM. So she comes in, and I'm doing the evening newscasts, and I'm the only human left in the building because I am the last person there because we're switching from kind of, playing records and this sort of thing to a digital automated type system. And so I'm there doing all of the newscasts, but I'm also the one kind of making sure that the radio station is running. And just so you know, this is kind of cool. You can be the judge whether it's cool. So I'm going through some files on Saturday because I'm trying to do my taxes. And I get into that that folder. Do you have this folder, or do you maybe you have it in a deposit box that has all your important documents?
Yes.
Maybe marriage certificate, birth certificate, that sort of thing. I found my FCC license from 1988, and they're lifetime licenses. So once again, if anyone's hiring in radio, I still have my active FCC license. So I find this FCC license from 1988. So I have to run this whole station by myself because everybody leaves. And so she comes in and she needs to do her one-liner. And she was not having a good night, Senator. She was not doing well. Mm-hmm. She was having trouble reading the content. She was doing this. And I'm the one who's supposed to record her one-liners with her. And I will tell you, as we're doing this, I had the greatest kick out of it because she would try to read it, and then she'd forget what did she say, and then she'd like, you know, I had 13 brothers and sisters.
I've seen the movie.
I know. That's what I had to say to her. I was like, Senator, I saw, or not Senator. I said, Ms. Lynn, I saw the movie. She said, oh, that Sissy Spacek. You know, she almost lost her mind during that movie. And she talked about the breakdown that Sissy Spacek had when she found out how hard Loretta Lynn's life was. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know who played her dad in the movie?
No.
It was Levon Helm, who was the drummer for the band.
Seriously?
Yeah, he recently died. He died of cancer. But yeah, he was in that movie. Yep. And Sissy Spacek in that movie sang all of those parts herself.
Did she really?
Yeah, she did not lip sync. Unlike, who played Patsy Cline? Was that Jessica Lange? I can't remember who played. No, it was it Beverly D'Angelo? No, she played Patsy Cline in Coal Miner's Daughter.
Right.
For a short period. But I can't remember, but whoever it was who played Patsy Cline in her movie, she lip sync all those parts.
But not Sissy Spacek
sang all that herself.
Yeah. Well, Loretta Lynn had the ultimate respect for her. She just went on and on about how she completely understood where she was coming from. It was fascinating. So, yeah, I got a chance to meet her. There was a guy named John Davidson. He was the host of a show called That's Incredible.
I remember John Davidson.
Yeah. So he came in.
You don't get any more 1970s than John Davidson.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. So he came in. I had the folks from... So the Andy Griffith Show, there was a group of locals who were called, I can't remember the name, the McCoy family or someone. But anyway, they sat on the porch and they sang songs, and every now and again one of the locals would fall in love with their daughter and da-da-da. Anyway, they were there. I know,
Andy Griffith did a show at Branson?
No, Andy Griffith had a television show.
Oh, yeah, sure. They had Andy Griffith
and
show.
So on the television show... there were a couple of storylines.
Well, yeah, because he could actually play the guitar and sing.
Could he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So they would take advantage of that on some episodes, and he would be like a hootenanny somewhere, and they would, yes.
So one of the hootenannies, they're out in the hills with this family, and I can't remember the name of the family, but they had a daughter who was always on the
Well, there was Ernest T. Ernest T. was
Ernest
always
T. Bass.
Ernest T. Bass was always causing trouble, yes.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, I know. I love you too. That's why I wish you would have voted yes for me earlier. We wouldn't be here right now. So Ernest T. Bass. Yeah. So he. So Ernest T. Bass, I think, may have been part of this family. But what was the name of that family? I'm not going to make you mad. You love me too much.
I don't remember.
What was the name of that? I can't remember. Anyway, so that family, they would sit on the porch and pick banjos with Andy Griffith. Anyway, they had a show in Branson. The Darlings. Thank you. I have no idea.
I never would have. I wouldn't have known that.
All right. Well, whoever knew that, that's amazing. You're unbelievable.
I bet Don Thalhuber knew that.
Wow. That's unbelievable. The Darlings. That's the Darlings.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So anyway. So that guy.
Oh. I know. Secretary of the Senate who knew that.
That's unbelievable. So
we should
Darlings.
Have a trivia night. I think we should have trivia night in the Senate.
Well, I want her on my team, clearly.
I would think so.
I mean, the Darlings is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
So anyway, so they had a show along with this, Jim somebody, I don't know. And then there was the guy who did the streak, Ray Stevens.
Ray Stevens, right.
Right,
Jim Stafford?
Jim Stafford. And he was the guy that had the show with the Darlings people.
He was on the Andy Griffith Show?
No, he was not.
Oh, they came to Branson and
were on Jim Stafford's show.
Yes, because he had a theater there.
And he's saying, I don't like spiders and snakes.
Right, but that ain't
that
what it
takes.
That
was his big thing.
That's right.
And then, but the other, I have another piece of trivia for you.
All right.
Guess who's never seen a show in Branson, Missouri? And who has two thumbs?
You have never seen a show?
This guy.
Really?
Straight up, yeah.
I grew up in St. Louis, and I have never been up in the Arch. So.
You've never been in the Arch?
I've never been in the Arch.
You've never been in that little egg? Like
no.
The Mork from Mork thing that goes up?
Nope, I've heard all about it. It terrifies me. I don't have
That's
any
weird.
Interest.
That's straight up weird. I don't know what's up with that. So.
I don't either. It's like you're getting a message there.
I've been getting some messages from folks who don't seem to kind of understand what I'm doing here right now. I'm just talking about, look, I got another text from someone that I have no idea who it's from, and they said the darlings. So someone else is listening to us. That's amazing. Love it.
That is amazing. You never know who's listening.
It is. I hope my parents aren't listening.
All right, so the darlings, they were there with Jim Stafford?
They were with Jim Stafford. And then Ray Stevens had a show. He was the Streak.
I remember that. But
the Mississippi Squirrel Revival.
No, that's a new one on me.
Remember, he did it. Does anyone remember the Mississippi Squirrel Revival?
No, I don't remember that.
The day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church?
I do remember the Streak.
Yeah. So the president pro tem remembers the Streak.
I remember the whole craze, though.
You remember the craze?
Yeah, see, I may date myself as older than you by remembering, but I remember them.
No, I remember the craze.
Yeah.
And so there's the Streak craze. Well, Ray Stevens had a song about the Streak.
Yeah, they call the Streak. Don't look, Ethel. And there he come, running around the pole beans. I remember the whole song.
Yeah. So I had to interview that guy. We did this.
But he did Misty, that song Misty.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He had some very serious songs in addition to kind of the kitschy things that he did.
He did.
The Street.
He did.
Yes.
My favorite was though the Mississippi Squirrel Revival.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, the day the squirrel went berserk in the first. I see.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, I do.
In a sleepy little town of Pascagoula.
I do remember that.
It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were clapping hands and shouting hallelujah. Yeah.
I remember that song
now. But that's the first time that's been cited on the Senate floor.
Well, I'm sorry I never saw that show in Branson.
Yeah, so there was a show called Backstage Branson or Branson Friday Night.
How about Shoji Tabuchi? Is he still there in Branson?
He is. Shoji actually had dinner in my home one night.
Really?
He got his start in a show with a performer named Chisai Childs. She had a theater, and her headliners were Shoji Tabuchi and a group called John Paul Cody. John Paul Cody was actually two people. It was twins.
Uh-huh.
They looked a little like Elvis. And their shtick was this. John would come out on one side of the stage, and then Paul would come out on the other, and you were like, is it John or is it Paul? Is it John? You didn't know. It was like boom, 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 boom. So they had...
They can do that digitally now, so it actually doesn't take two people to do it. But
at the time, it was pretty fascinating. Well, they had some fans who drove around in this amazing...
Senator from Boone, you're required to face the dais at all times...
Thank you, Mr. President.
...during this debate. Proceed.
So John Paul Cody, they had this enormous fan club. They had the John Paul Cody fan club. And they would drive around in this enormous convertible. And it was unbelievable. It was these two little old ladies. And one of them was so hilarious because, well, actually, this isn't hilarious at all. Someone was found chopped up in Oklahoma.
That's not funny.
No, it's not funny. And I don't think they ever found her hands. But they found her head first, and then they found the rest of her body. And she had chopped up her cohort from the John Paul Cody fan club and spread the body parts across Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. And they found the head, I think, in Missouri, but they found the rest of the body parts in Oklahoma. They never found the hands. And it was actually the two women who were the co-founders of the John Paul Cody fan club who actually, one of them was chopped up and the other one was the alleged offender.
I think that John Paul Cody would really put that on an endorsement list that his...
No, they didn't. And then unfortunately, and I don't know which one it was, either John or Paul actually kicked the bucket, and that kind of was the end of their act because they really didn't have much when it was just either John or Paul Cody. Really wasn't interesting anymore.
Yeah.
Plus, then there was the murder, so that was awkward and weird. Yeah, but anyway. I really don't know how we got to this point in the evening, but I'm happy to tell you that story.
Wasn't Shoji Tabuchi, wasn't he? I mean, he was a classical violinist, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and I don't have any clue how he came to Branson, Missouri, but he was at Chisai Child's Theater, and when that theater either went under or when he had an opportunity, he started his own theater, and it was kind of interesting. His wife was a driving force, and his daughter as well, behind that theater, and their big thing, and I think they've been on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous or something, they actually created some sort of... I can't remember. Massive bathroom, women's bathroom that was like a tourism stop in Branson.
Uh-huh.
And the men were not to be outdone, so they created a men's restroom that actually has a billiards table in the men's restroom there. And that's kind of their thing now. So Shoji's still playing fiddle. He tells the same jokes. He jokes about how, you know, because he's Japanese and he eats sushi, that when he goes fishing, he eats the bait. It's an awkward, weird thing that he does, and I've never seen his show. I haven't.
I have not either.
I've broken bread with the man. He came to my house. At one point, kind of interesting, was able to meet him. But yeah, that's what he does. So.
Well, is it true? I mean, did Porter Wagner actually start the whole Branson experience? That's what I've heard.
Well, you know, there's all sorts of people who say different things.
Porter Wagner, isn't he from... He's from West Plains, isn't he?
I think he's from West Plains. There's like a Porter Wagner Avenue in West Plains. I think that Roy Clark was probably a little bit more of the driving factor, but... if you go back, I mean, the reality is that the Bald Knobbers started it all.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the music group, the Bald Knobbers. The Presleys...
Not opposed to
the Vigilante group that was in place in the 1800s around the Civil War.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
That was a thing. And then the Presleys were the first to have a show on the Country Music Boulevard, which is...
And they had stuff at Lake of the Ozarks, too, I believe.
Pardon me?
Didn't they have a show at the Lake of the Ozarks as well, I believe? Didn't they?
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah,
I thought they did. So the Presleys were the first to have a show on Country Music Boulevard, which is Highway 76. But in the late 80s, Roy Clark came to Branson and built the Lodge of the Ozarks. And he started bringing national acts in who would come in and they would do one or two or three nights. So they would do that, one, two, three nights. And then they thought, you know, oh my goodness. Someone just delivered to me the 2013 Branson Vacation Guide. This is amazing. With live shows, pristine lakes, world-class attractions. This is great. Thank you to the Department of Tourism for sending this my way. This is great. So Roy Clark started this theater, and he would bring in these acts, and all of these acts realized that all of a sudden that they could actually, they would be able to just stay in Branson and have a show six nights a week.
Right, rather than going on the road,
and
moving around.
And so in my opinion, it was Roy Clark, and then, I don't know if you remember Boxcar Willie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Boxcar Willie had twins, Lori and Larry, I think, and they were a year ahead of me in high school, and I don't even remember their last name.
So you went to high school with Boxcar Willie's kids?
Yeah, Lori and Larry. And... My favorite memory of I don't remember Lori too much. She was a cheerleader, but Larry was awesome because he was in
Boxcar Willie. Didn't he, like, he had like hobo gear?
Yeah. He was, you know.
So did the kids wear that kind of stuff to school?
He rode the rails. No. They were real fancy. They were like, because we're from Branson, so we're all, you know, Branson. I mean, just dream up Branson, and that's what we were, right? These guys were like from, they were city slickers. They were in from, you know, out of town. We're like, woo, okay, Lori and Larry. So Larry, he comes in and like infiltrates the drama club and all this.
Uh-huh.
And he's like Mr., you know, so all the plays, he's getting the lead roles and that sort of thing. So one night they have this, I don't know what it is, like some, it's not a talent show, but it's like they're showcasing all the talents of the people in the drama thing. And I don't know if I was in charge of doing the lights or if I was dating someone who was doing the lights, but somehow I ended up in the part of the gym that had the spotlights. And I remember Larry, Boxcar Willie's son, did this thing where, do you remember... Dirty Dancing, the movie Dirty Dancing.
You know, yeah, that's actually one of my wife's favorite movies.
Okay, So you remember it's Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Grey.
Yes.
Nobody puts baby in the corner. So Larry, Boxcar Willie's son, plays Patrick Swayze. And I don't even remember what girl plays Jennifer Grey. But they
it may be Jennifer Grey.
It may have been. I mean, it's Branson, Missouri. Who knows? So we're in the high school gymnasium. It's like 1987, 1988. And Larry of Boxcar Willie's, you know, fame, is Patrick Swayze. And the Jennifer Grey character, I remember she runs and she jumps off the stage and Larry's there to catch her and he's like holding her over her head. And he collapsed.
He collapsed?
Yeah, it was really embarrassing. It was like a huge, you know, it was a big trauma and I don't know.
He dropped her?
Doctors were called. It was awkward.
Did he drop her? Like, he didn't catch her?
Well, he caught her, but then she like he collapsed, so she like fell on top of him.
Ouch.
I didn't have the same, you know, because remember the songs playing, I had the time of my life,
yeah.
I never felt this way before, and I swear,
right.
And woo. And yeah, he just like, his knees buckled.
Very romantic song, which doesn't fit with somebody hit the ground.
It doesn't fit when there's the pancake on the ground, so that was a little awkward. So I just, that's what I kind of remember about Lori and Larry, but, you know, it was an interesting place to grow up. I met a lot of interesting folks. There was this guy named Dino Kartsinakis. He was a Greek piano player, and he wore this massive diamond-studded piano on his finger. And when he would come to the radio station, he would bang on the window between the news booth and outside, and he'd bang on it with his big diamond-studded piano, and he'd be like, hey, and I'd be like, hey, Dino, how's it going? I mean, just like the character.
His name was Dino?
Dino Kartsinakis.
That sounds very Greek.
Yeah, so it was an interesting place. I met a lot of people. Probably my favorite moment, though, I was right after I left MU and I moved down there to go back to work for the radio station. My dad and some of his buddies had a property that they were working on, and they were trying to get it sold to develop it to something else out on Table Rock Lake. And I somehow finagled my way into being the caretaker of this property out on Table Rock Lake.
Uh-huh.
And all I had to do was mow 14 acres of grass, and I got to live there for free. And it
Wow.
was cool because the house was kind of a Brady Bunch house. It was this big sprawling house with shag carpet and the big, you know, and this. And it had like an intercom system with an 8-track system and all this stuff. It was really amazing. And all I had to do was mow 14 acres of land, and I got to live there for free. So, but
you have a riding mower? Did you have to?
Yeah.
That's
what they call a brush hog.
I don't know
if you're familiar with that. But yeah.
Yes.
So me
Absolutely.
On this brush hog, and I'm driving it around. It was totally worth it. I got to live out on the lake for a summer for free. So I'm out there, but one of the things is that real estate agents would bring folks out there all the time. So this car pulls up, and I'm out on this property out on Table Rock Lake, and the car pulls up, and the window rolls down, and all this smoke billows out of the car. I'm like, what on earth is going on? And in this car, and I am not kidding, is Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson.
Say that again?
Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson.
Came out to the
We're in
the house?
This car. Car rolls down, windows roll down, smoke billows out, lots of smoke billows out. Waylon Jennings
was in there, I'm sure a lot of smoke was billowing out.
Lots of smoke billows out. Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson in the car. And I'm dying because I'm there by myself. And there's not one human around to tell. I mean, everyone can think I'm a liar right now. But I'm just sitting out on this property looking at Table Rock Lake, and this happens. And so I go running down to the car. I'm like, hey. And they ask me about the property. And they're like, what? And I tell them all about it. I ask them if they want to. They didn't. I'd love to say that they, like, got out and we're best friends and we still are pen pals. And no, none of that happened. They just asked about the property. They rolled up the window and drove away. But it was really one of my favorite moments.
Well, Willie had a theater at Branson for a very short period of time.
Yeah, a bunch of them for a hot second had theaters. Johnny Cash had a theater.
He did for a very short period of time.
None of them really ever panned out. Some of those guys.
No, Willie Nelson, because I've seen him several times perform, and he makes jokes about Branson.
Yeah, well, you know. I kind of get it. I mean, it's a difficult place. It's a hard place.
These jokes are basically that it's a very difficult business environment to.
It is.
For an entertainer like that. It is.
It's very difficult. I mean, some of the folks made it last a little bit longer.
Well, yeah, because some
Tillis
of them made it.
Mel Tillis was there for a while.
Mel Tillis was there for a long time.
He actually started a hotel and a restaurant and a bar, and what was kind of cool is he had Mel Tillis's mole hole. So he had the Mole Hole, which was a bar attached to his restaurant and hotel. And the cool thing about the Mole Hole was when any other act was in town and they finished up their show in town, they would actually come and just kind of knock the house band off the stage and perform.
Wow.
So it was kind of a cool place to hang out because when they hung out, it truly was pretty spectacular. And so I went over to the Mole Hole quite a bit just because you never knew who you were going to see on any given night. It was pretty amazing. So, and then one night I reported that Conway Twitty had collapsed on stage. And Conway Twitty, and which happened, he actually did collapse on stage. But his publicist got so angry that they forced him to go back on stage at like 11 o'clock that night to do a
pre-show. After
he
had passed out?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And then the next morning on CBS This Morning, there was a report that a local radio station had inaccurately reported that Conway Twitty was dead. That is not what I said. I said that Conway Twitty had collapsed on stage, which was true.
Falsely reported that Conway Twitty had died and made national news.
No, I did not. I was accused of it, and it was not true. He did. Now, he later went on and died, just so everybody knows.
He did. That's correct.
But and I'm now finding, by the way, that Yakov may have returned to Branson. I'm looking at this 2013 thing. I guess maybe his attempt.
Well, I was going to ask you that because that would probably give you a pretty good indication of who is still going.
Yeah, so Yakov's still there, I'm seeing, from the group that sent me this. Neil McCoy's there now, Johnny Mathis, Bill Cosby, whoa. Charlie Daniels, the Oak Ridge Boys. I mean, you know, it's pretty interesting stuff. Pretty interesting. Kirby Van Burch, he's a big illusionist.
And Glenn Campbell at one time had a theater. But it was Glenn Campbell theater, but different people would play.
Yeah. And he just, and I adored him. Now, I don't think he's passed yet, but he did... He didn't pass yet.
He did
but
not.
But he announced that he has Alzheimer's.
But he has Alzheimer's, that's correct.
And I don't know if you know this, Senator, but the first song that I ever learned all the lyrics to, maybe besides something I learned in Sunday school, was Rhinestone Cowboy by Glenn Campbell. I don't know.
I remember when that song was...
Senator from Barry is thinking about singing along with me.
On the radio and very popular.
Yeah, it was a very popular song. That was the first song that I learned all the words to. My poor parents, they were here today. They're good people. You know, they lived in Kansas City while my folks were at UMKC. They were Kansas City Kangaroos. But, you know, their home was in Branson, and so we would travel there. And at the time, the drive from Kansas City to Branson, because of the roads, was probably about 4 or 4.5 hours. And you know who was in the back seat of that car, that 1978 Fiat, for 4.5 hours and who would never shut up?
You had a Fiat with a back seat?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, one of the little square ones.
Yeah, little square ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, 4.5 hours, nothing but me singing Rhinestone Cowboy for 4.5 hours. I mean, I don't know why you would ever have another child after that. I mean, that just, I don't know why they even come to visit me today. I mean, they're really good people. You know, everyone always asks them, Senator, what happened to me? I've got this amazing, you know, conservative Republican family, good God-fearing people down in the Ozarks, and what'd you do? I mean, why do you have this daughter? And I firmly believe it's because I was born in Kansas City. My head was soft. I mean, you know when babies are born, their heads are kind of soft?
On the top, yes.
And I'm living up in Kansas City, and all of these crazy democratic liberal things are just getting in my skull, and, you know, just...
Is that how that works?
That's...
Didn't know.
I don't know what else happened. I mean, they raised me right, but I just... I don't know how I turned out the way I did, so... That's my opinion, but I think it's worked out okay. People from Montgomery City seem happy, so.
They do, and I've actually heard very positive things from some people in your new district.
Oh, from Montgomery City?
Well, no, I don't know about from Montgomery City, but from other parts of your district, Callaway County.
I'm really excited about this place called Supreme Cuisine. I don't know if I told you about it and the French chef that...
You have not?
Okay, this is so cool. So, there's this French chef who has these restaurants all over the country, actually all over the world, and he thinks that Midwest beef is the best beef in the nation, and so he wanted to...
It is, though, because I lived in New England for a while when I was in law school, and which it was not beef.
Right.
You have to be ready for that when you order beef, and what you get is not... It's not what we think of as beef.
When you're in the Northeast, order some seafood.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We went to Boston, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because it's cheap.
Yeah. But don't order beef. So Midwest beef. So he's like, I think I'd like to start a new warehouse, and he points to near Montgomery City, and he ended up opening up a USDA facility in Montgomery City, Missouri. And he actually now produces really high-end prepackaged meals that go to casinos, convention centers, cruise ships, all over the country, all out of Montgomery City.
All out of Montgomery City.
And then here's something that totally cracked me up. So I walk in addition to Supreme Cuisine, I see a sign that says Kansas City Protein. I'm like, what is this? Kansas City Protein. I'm in Montgomery City. Like, oh, well, we actually just moved here from Kansas City last year. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, we were at...
Montgomery City?
Yeah. We were at 57th and Troost Avenue, which is right on the dividing line between my former district and the center from the 9th district. And we just moved from Kansas City to Montgomery City, Missouri last year. We'd been in Kansas City for, you know, a generation or more. And they do some interesting stuff. They do a lot of repackaging of beef. So do you know Seaboard? They do a lot of pork. Yeah.
I know them well, yes.
Yeah, okay. So Seaboard sends a lot of their product to Kansas City Protein. Kansas City Protein cuts it into the cuts that restaurants and grocery stores and whomever wants, and then they package it, and it gets shipped out to their clients. So that happens. And then, addition to that, they do repackaging of surplus items. So I look over at this guy, and he is seriously up to his armpits almost in chicken fingers. I'm like, what is that guy doing? And they said, well, when people over-purchase chicken fingers, they are in these massive boxes, not like little boxes that you could put into your freezer, but they're on these big pallets that are like, you know, chest high. And the thing is in order to resell those, you can't sell a pallet of chicken fingers.
I don't even know what a chicken finger is.
Okay. A chicken finger is kind of like a frozen piece of chicken that's breaded.
Like a chicken nugget or a chicken...
Chicken nugget, like a big chicken nugget.
Yeah, or a chicken tenderloin.
Tender, okay, yeah. So that's what it is.
Yeah, I just never heard them called chicken fingers. That's
okay, it. Yeah, so well, I'm from Brains, and they call them chicken fingers. All right, so he's got this pallet, and it's full of chicken fingers, and he's got this massive container, and he's putting the chicken fingers from the pallet into the thing. I'm like, what is he doing? And he says, well, we buy all of these surplus chicken fingers, but we can't send the big pallet of chicken fingers to the Branson High School or to the, you know, Fulton State Hospital because they don't have room for a pallet of chicken fingers. They only have room for a little box of chicken fingers. So they are licensed to take the big pallets of chicken fingers and make them into little boxes of chicken fingers. And so that's what they do there. You know what else they do at Kansas City Protein, which is absolutely fascinating to me, is they have come up with a protein. They developed it there to help reduce the amount of waste when you are slicing up beef tenderloin. So when you're slicing up tenderloin and you're trying to get the fillets, you start at the one end and you've got these nice big fillets, but by the time you get to the end, they're tapered and so they're real small and you have to throw them away. It's just complete waste. So here's what they do. They've created this beef protein so that they can take the fat end of this piece of tenderloin and the fat end of this piece of tenderloin, and then they place them like this. And I know this is kind of a prop, and I apologize, but what I'm doing here...
Your arms aren't a prop. It's okay.
They're not. They're attached to me. Okay. So what you do is you've got the skinny end here and the skinny end here and the fat end here, and you press them together. Uh-huh. Got it? And so then you can slice it, and you get the full fillet all the way down.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You don't lose anything.
Right.
Kansas City Protein, Montgomery City, Missouri. That's what I'm saying. It's amazing what they do there.
Senator from Johnson, there's no flash photography allowed on the Senate floor without express permission from the majority floor leader. Senators, proceed with your debate.
Well, Senator, with that interruption, I think we're going to have to start all over again. Senator, I want to thank you for the inquiry this evening. And, you know, there's a time to have these discussions like this. And the great thing about it is you learn so much more than you... things that you didn't know when you started, including about your colleagues.
I mean, think about the things that people didn't know in here. I bet they didn't know about Kansas City Protein. They didn't know. You didn't even know what a chicken finger was.
But you can't unring that bell.
The darlings? I mean, that's unbelievable.
That's actually a good one. That one will stick.
All right.
Well, Senator, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.